Lord, we thank you that you give us a sense of humor, because we need it sometimes. It's good. And I think you've got a sense of humor too, Lord. We praise you and we thank you this morning for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for the rain that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for smiling down on us this morning. Lord, we ask that you open up heavens for us. You open up heaven for us. That you pour out your spirit, your love, and your joy. Touch your people this morning, Lord. May we hear your word. And Lord, we give you permission to change our lives, to do whatever you want to in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. I have something here I got off the internet. Isn't the internet amazing? What a source. This is written by John Rodel, I guess. R-O-E-D-E-L. I don't have no idea who he is. But this caught my attention. And it's a conversation between a person named me and a person named God. And it starts out, I'm just going to read it like that, me, then I'll read God, then me. Anyway, just like that as the dialogue goes. Me, hey God. God, hello my love. Me, I'm falling apart. Can you put me back together? God, I would rather not. Me, why? God, because you aren't a puzzle. Me, what about all the pieces of my life that are falling down onto the ground? God, let them stay there for a while. They fell off for a reason. Take some time and decide if you need any of those pieces back. Me, you don't understand. I'm breaking down. God, no, you don't understand. You're breaking through. What you are feeling are just growing pains. You are shedding the things and the people in your life that are holding you back. You aren't falling apart. You're falling into place. Relax. Take some deep breaths and allow those things you don't need anymore to fall off of you. Quit holding on to the pieces that don't fit you anymore. Let them fall off. Let them go. Me, once I start doing that, what would be left of me? God, only the very best pieces of you. Me, I'm scared of changing. God, I keep telling you, you aren't changing. You are becoming. Me, becoming who? God, becoming who I created you to be. A person of light and love and charity and hope and courage and joy and mercy and grace and compassion. I made you far more than the shallow pieces you have decided to adorn yourself with that you cling to with such greed and fear. Let those things fall off of you. I love you. Don't change. Become. 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 Become who I made you to be. I'm going to keep telling you this until you remember it. Me, there goes another piece. God, yep, let it be. Me, so I'm not broken? God, no. But you are breaking like the dawn. It's a new day. Become, become. This morning I'm going to be talking about, well, it's mostly from the book of Judges, trumpets, earthen vessels, and torches. You know, the Bible's an interesting book. There's a lot of contrast, a lot of opposites. We see that in people. We see Abraham and Lot. They were different. But God seemed to place them in the storyline together. Cain and Abel, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, David and Saul. It's even true about some of the books in the Bible, one right after the other. There's the book of Joshua and the book of Judges. They're opposites. There's a contrast there. The book of Joshua is a book of victory, but it's also a book about a believing, obedient people. Maybe that's why there's victory, you suppose? book of Judges was just the opposite. It's a book of defeat. It's a book of falling away from God, disobedience. As I said, we're going to be talking about somebody in the book of Judges today, and we're going to be talking about more than that, actually. Trumpets, earthen vessels, and torches. Well, to begin,
there you go, that's all you're going to get. I just played a medley in my head. Is that what? That's a shofar.
A shofar. A trumpet. Actually, there's two types of trumpets in the Bible. There are silver trumpets that God had to make, and then there's the ram's horn, the shofar. And shofar, show good, right? Shofar. That's the trumpets. We'll talk a little bit about the trumpets, but anyway. Where am I going with this? I don't know. 4 years ago today was the happiest day of my life. 4 years ago today, I married Linda. And, I got my box of Kleenex here. But, you know, it's still the happiest day of my life, and I celebrate today. I even bought her a card. Because I bought her a birthday card, too, because she loved cards. She didn't care if you got her an expensive present, but you better get her a card. I found that out the hard way one time. No, I won't make that mistake again. But you know what? It is what it is. And I know where she is. And I know this world isn't going to last much longer. I know I'm not going to last that much longer. Not eternally speaking, right? I remember having a hat years ago, quite a few years ago. It said 40 isn't old, eternally speaking. I had to stop wearing it because I stopped being in the 40s. But that's where it is. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Sometimes we get in the way. Sometimes we decide to yield to Him and go along with it. We don't always understand, but we trust, don't we? We have to. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Paul alludes to this and expands on it in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 30 through 31. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Good example of this is Gideon, who we're going to be talking about. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in this. Let him glory in the Lord. As I said, we're going to be talking about Gideon. Yeah, I read in a commentary in someone's opinion, and I'm not going to argue with it, but they thought that maybe Gideon was one of the most real, honest judges in the book of Judges. And I can see some validity in that. He knew who he was. The Lord came to him one day. He's hiding in a threshing mill, threshing his crop at night. hiding from the Midianites who are once again invading his country. And the Lord came to him, and he said, "Who am I? I'm the least of my family, which is the least of my clan, which is the least of my tribe, and all of the nation of Israel. Who am I? And you're going to send me to deliver them against the Midianites?" And God says, "Yes." Why? Who does God choose? If you ever think you're doing great things for the Lord, just remember those verses I read. Who does God use? No, we let God do things through us. Okay, I got this marked here. Gideon was given an assignment, and he had to lay out a fleece first before God. And he wanted it to be, even though the ground was dry, I might have this backwards, I don't know, that's all right. You'll get the idea. He wanted to lay a fleece out and say, "Well, if it's really of you, if this is what you want me to do, then let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet." And it happened. So he did it again. Only this time he changed things and he said, "Well, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet." Did I just say that? Is that right? Okay. Anyway, the opposite. And it happened. You know, is that right? Should we do that? And yet, it gives God. God had no problem doing it for him, did he? Sometimes maybe we just need something that's just going to encourage us a little bit. Or maybe he believed what God was going to do. And I tend to think that maybe that might be why he did it. He could take that and he can build on it and he can know that God's with him. So God had to cut his forces down. His army was too big. They were going against about 125,000, 130,000 people in the other army. And, you know, I think they had like 10,000 to begin with or 20,000. And God said, "No, that's too many." Anyway, he narrowed it down to 300, and now things are just pretty even. Of course, if you got just 300 people, even if you only have one, and you have God, you've got the majority, don't you? You have them outnumbered. Let's see. Judges 7:16 through 23. "And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, 'Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.' So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch," that's about midnight, and they had but newly set the watch, "and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" And let's see, 23. "And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Zerioth, and to the border of Abel-Mehaloth unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites." Confusion in the camp. Obedience to God will do that. Praise to God will do that, as we saw in the days of Jehoshaphat, when they put the musicians in front, and the singers. Blew the trumpets, broke the earthen vessels, and held the torches of. Trumpets, earthen vessels, and torches. I'm going to say a little bit about trumpets first. In Joshua chapter 6, we see a good instance of what happened with trumpets. The children of Israel were told to march around Jericho every day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they were to march around it 7 times and blow the trumpets and shout. And the walls came down straight and fell flat. Was it the trumpets that did that? Was it the sound that did that? I've heard the sound can do things. It can break glass, I guess. You know, some people singing can. You might. A trumpet is it's a signal. It's a call to assemble, a call to march, to sound an alarm, and to lead in warfare. It has an effect in the physical realm, and I believe it has an effect in the spiritual realm. I had a friend that every time someone would blow a shofar, she would just double up because it affected her spiritually. And I believe, knowing her, that she wasn't faking it, that it was real. And it was really something she was experiencing. I don't want to get metaphysical. I'm not even sure what metaphysical is. I guess it has something to do with above or beyond the material. Anyway, someone said about a trumpet, it can release waves of harmonious energy into every part of our being. I don't know. Is a trumpet capable of doing this? Is it magical? Did it cause the walls of Jericho to fall down? I think obedience to God caused those walls to fall down. I think obedience to God is what causes that stirring in us. Sound has an effect on things. I don't know. I don't understand everything sound can do. But then again, I'm more concerned knowing with what God can do. And we see reading that story, everything He could do. Earthen vessels. Pitchers. They didn't have plastic back then. Does that surprise anybody? They had earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Back in the Romans, and I guess way back then, they used to put their valuables in earthen vessels. And sometimes they'd have to break it to get it out. It was a way of storing. They didn't have banks. But what else can we say about earthen vessels? What does that make you think of? What are we? Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. We're made out of dirt. Many of the elements of the human body are the same as that of the earth. Maybe not in the same proportion, but I imagine God was able to rearrange things the way he wanted to make it work. But basically, we're wearing mud suits, aren't we? We're earthen vessels. In Jeremiah 18, God called Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. And he was shown an example. With a clay pot or a piece of pottery on the potter's wheel. And it's still wet clay and it's being shaped and being formed. And that's what God does to us. And that's what God's saying. This is what I can do. This is what I do. You ever feel maybe that tugging where he's stretching that clay and he's stretching? He does like to stretch us, doesn't he? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? You know, the other night when I was working on this, and this amazed me because this all came together in about 2 or 3 hours Friday night. And I didn't even look at this until this morning, and that's unusual. That's very unusual. But I was working on it and with my computer on and my Bible, and the power went out, the lights went out. And they came back on. I had the radio on, and an old Jack Green song was playing. And it was "The Treasure of Your Love." And I was working at this part when that happened. In fact, I went ahead and typed that in right then. "The treasure of your love." What's the treasure that we have in earthen vessels? For one thing, we have the treasure of God's love. But also, what did Paul say? Which includes his love, which is part of his love. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We have the glory, we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have the knowledge of God. That's inside us. That's the light. Torches, or lanterns, or lamps, or lights. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." There's a purpose to that, isn't there? Actually, our light is a reflection of His light. In John chapter 1, it says, "He gave light to every man coming into the world." He's the true light which giveth light to every man coming into the world. He lights us up. And then we reflect that light to everybody we meet. Light. What was the first recorded utterance of God? "Let there be light." The first thing He spoke into existence was light. That's not a commandment, "Let there be light." Light is very important to God. He hates darkness. And after all, in James 1:17, He's called the Father of Lights. Okay, I know where it is. I don't have the address written here. It's Isaiah 60, verse 1. It says the people. No, it isn't. Anyway, it says the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's in Isaiah 9. What great light did they see? God's people. And they also saw Jesus Christ as the great light. Our opening scripture was Matthew 5:14 through 16. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Isaiah 9:2, there it is. I just jumped ahead. Once again, 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Light reveals. Light puts things on display. Light uncovers sins. That's why the world loves darkness and hates the light. Because it shines on the things that they're doing. Maybe that's why, or one reason why they hate us. Because the light of Jesus Christ reflecting off us convicts them. Noah condemned the world with his righteousness. Or his righteousness condemned the world. So what do we see back there in Judges? We see the trumpet sounding, which is a call to warfare. We are in warfare, aren't we? And we see earthen vessels that contain a light. But what has to be done for that light to shine? That earthen vessel has to be broken. I remember Pastor Mike during his Marismos teaching one time. He was, some of you don't know what that is, but that was a teaching he did. He said, Some people have to be broken more than once. Then he said some people have to be broken 12 times or more. And I'm nodding my head thinking, yeah, I might know somebody that falls into that category, right? But God has a purpose in breaking us, doesn't he? In Judges chapter 7, I've already said this, but I've got it in my notes, I'm going to say it again. It wasn't until the earthen vessels were broken that the light that was inside could shine. If you're experiencing brokenness, or you have, remember, it's part of his plan. It's part of his purpose. Welcome it. You're not changing. You're becoming. Isaiah 60 verse 1, and I'll close with this. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Shine your lights brightly. Lord, we thank you. And once again, Lord, as I said, we don't always understand what you do or why you do what you do. But Lord, we trust you. Help us to trust you more. Help us to focus on the final result, on the bigger picture, Lord. That you're at work in our hearts and at work in our lives. And not just us, but all of us. And it's all connected. You're an amazing God. You have everything in your hand. And you have total control over what the outcome's going to be. You have total control of everything that you use to bring us and to bring your plan to that final outcome. Lord, bless your people. Lord, walk with us and guide us and direct us because we need you. Lord, the world is getting darker. Help us to shine our light brighter. If we're a reflection of you, then we need more of you in our life, Lord. Make it so. We yield ourselves to you totally. We submit to you, Lord. Because we trust what you're doing. Bless your people today, Lord, please, and bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.